day. My name is Betty Dubé, a current PharmD student at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. I have been practicing pharmacy for over 15 years now. The title of my podcast is Another New Kid on the Weight Loss Block, Semaglutide, What Dose is Effective? My podcast is regarding a controversy that I came across in my practice regarding the weight loss dose of subcutaneous semaglutide with the trade name Ozempic, a glucagon-like peptide 1, also known as GLP-1 receptor agonist used for the management of type 2 diabetes. In Canada, only 3 anti-obesity medications are currently approved for weight loss. These are 1, Olnistat, 2, Contrave, a combination of bupropion and naltrexone, and 3, a first-generation GLP-1 receptor agonist, liraglutide, marketed as Saxenda. Semaglutide, a next-generation GLP-1 receptor agonist, is approved for type 2 diabetes. Semaglutide landmark diabetes trials also showed weight loss effects. The approved subcutaneous semaglutide dose for diabetes management is 0.25 milligrams weekly for 4 weeks, then 0.5 milligrams for 4 weeks thereafter, a maintenance dose of 1 milligram weekly. In current practice, this dose of semaglutide is being used off-label for weight loss in patients who are overweight with or without type 2 diabetes. An approved dose for weight loss is yet to be established, and herein lies the controversy. Can semaglutide indeed be used for weight loss with or without a history of diabetes? If so, is the current dose of 1 milligram being used off-label effective for this indication? Now for a brief background. Obesity is a progressive, complex, relapsing, and prevalent chronic disease. It is characterized by excess body fat that impairs health, reduces lifespan, and increases the risk of comorbidities such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, obstructive sleep apnea, chronic kidney disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and some cancers. Obesity is operationally defined as a body mass index, BMI, exceeding 30 kilograms per meter squared. According to the 2020 Obesity in Adults Clinical Practice Guideline, in Canada, obesity has increased threefold in the last 3 decades and has become a major public health issue that raises healthcare costs and negatively affects physical and psychological health. While lifestyle intervention, including diet and exercise, are the foundation of weight management, sustaining weight loss over the long term is still challenging. Therefore, adjunctive pharmacotherapy is necessary. Studies have shown that weight loss is associated with improvements in cardiovascular risk factors, comorbidities, as well as in performance-based physical functioning. To date, the use of anti-obesity medications remains limited by their modest efficacy, safety worries, adherence issues, and affordability. There is still a vital need for more anti-obesity medications to address these limitations. To compare the efficacy of the current approved anti-obesity medications, a 2016 systematic review by Kara and co-authors that included 28 trials with over 29,000 participants showed that after 52 weeks, a median 23% of placebo participants had at least 5% weight loss compared to 63% of participants taking liraglutide versus 55% taking Contrave and 44% taking Olnistat. This result signifying the efficacy of GLP-1 receptor agonists on weight loss. With regards to the efficacy of an anti-obesity medication, the 2013 American Guideline for the Management of Obesity in Adults suggests that if the patient has not lost at least 5% of the initial body weight after 12 weeks on a maximum dose of an anti-obesity medication, the provider should reassess the risk versus benefit ratio of that medication. I will now give you a brief description of how GLP-1 receptor agonists work. During a meal, the incretin mimetic GLP-1 is released from the gut enteroendocrine cells to control meal-related glycemic excursion through the augmentation of insulin and inhibition of glucagon secretion. GLP-1 also inhibits gastric emptying. The clinical use of GLP-1 is impeded by its short half-life of about 1 to 2 minutes in the circulation because of its proteolytic degradation by the enzymes dipeptidylpeptidase 4, DPP4, and neutral endopeptidase. Semaglutide has about 94% structural homology with native GLP-1, with three important structural modifications at position 8, 26, and 34 that makes semaglutide less susceptible to degradation by DPP-4 and with an extended half-life of about 183 hours. These modifications on the GLP-1 structure also makes semaglutide suitable for once-weekly administration that may improve patient adherence compared with first-generation GLP-1 receptor agonists like liraglutide that require once-daily injectable dosing. For the potential underlying mechanism of subcutaneous semaglutide-induced weight loss, a 2017 study by Blundell and co-authors showed that in non-diabetic obese patients eating ad libitum, once-weekly semaglutide for 12 weeks resulted in a greater weight loss of 5 kilograms versus those on placebo who gained 1 kilogram. Ad libitum means one eats when hungry and stops when full without any particular calorie or micronutrient target. In this study, semaglutide treatment was associated with lower ad libitum energy intake during the subsequent meals after a standardized breakfast and also induced less hunger and food cravings. To summarize, semaglutide induces weight loss by reducing hunger, increasing feelings of fullness, and in so doing helps people eat less. So my PICO question is, in adults, overweight or obese patients, what is the effective dose of subcutaneous semaglutide as compared to placebo required to achieve clinically meaningful weight loss? I used evidence to answer this question. I completed a comprehensive published literature search on Ovid, PubMed, and the Cochrane Library using the search terms subcutaneous semaglutide, GLP-1, and weight loss, obesity, overweight. I limited my search to humans and the English language. I obtained 36 results. I did not find any systematic reviews. I chose the most recent published trials comparing specific semaglutide doses with placebo for weight loss. I found one 2021 study that investigated a higher semaglutide dose for weight loss in non-diabetics and another that compared the efficacy of two different doses for weight loss in diabetics. I acknowledge that both trials were industry-funded and part of the global phase 3 series of landmark trials, also known as Semaglutide Treatment Effect in People with Obesity, STEP program. This STEP program aimed to evaluate the efficacy and safety of subcutaneous semaglutide at a dose of 2.4 milligrams once weekly in persons with obesity, with or without weight-related complications. I pondered why 2.4. To answer, this 2.4 milligram weekly dose was based on the results from a 2018 phase 2 dose-finding trial by O'Neill and co-authors published in The Lancet, in which semaglutide 0.4 milligrams once a day was effective in terms of weight loss with an acceptable tolerability profile. I will now review the two publications. The first was a trial by Waldin and co-authors titled Once Weekly Semaglutide in Adults with Overweight or Obesity, published on February 10, 2021 in New England Journal of Medicine. This trial, also known as Step 1, was a 68-week randomized, double-blind, multi-center, placebo-controlled weight management trial that investigated the efficacy and safety of once-weekly subcutaneous semaglutide 2.4 milligrams on body weight compared to placebo in 1,900 obese adults without diabetes in conjunction with lifestyle intervention. The trial included adults 18 years and over with one or more self-reported unsuccessful dietary effort to lose weight and either a BMI of 30 and greater or a BMI of 27 or greater with treated or untreated weight-related comorbidities. All participants provided written consent. Key exclusion criteria were diabetes, an A1C of over 6.5%, a history of chronic pancreatitis, acute pancreatitis within 180 days before enrollment, previous surgical obesity treatment, and the use of anti-obesity medication within 90 days before enrollment. From June to November 2018, using an interactive web-based response system, participants were randomly assigned at a 2-to-1 ratio with 1,300 in the semaglutide group and 655 in the matching placebo group. Semaglutide was initiated at a dose of 0.25 milligram once weekly for the first 4 weeks, with the dose increased every 4 weeks to reach the maintenance weekly dose of 2.4 milligrams by week 16. Of note is that lower maintenance doses were permitted in participants who had an acceptable side effect with the 2.4 milligram dose. Participants achieved individual counseling sessions every 4 weeks to help them adhere to the reduced calorie diet and increase physical activity of about 150 minutes per week. Both diet and activity were recorded daily and reviewed during counseling sessions. Participants received treatment for 68 weeks, then followed by a 7-week without treatment or lifestyle interventions as a safety follow-up. The primary endpoints were the percentage change in body weight from baseline to week 68 and achievement of a reduction in body weight of at least 5% from baseline to week 68. Secondary endpoints included a reduction in body weight of at least 10% or at least 15% by week 68 and the change from baseline to week 68 in waist circumference, systolic blood pressure, physical functioning, and quality of life. Results, baseline characteristics were similar in both groups. About 70% were female and white with a mean age of 46 years. The mean body weight was 105 kilograms, mean BMI 38, and 43% had prediabetes. At screening, 75% of participants had at least one comorbidity. This step one trial met both primary efficacy endpoints. People treated with semaglutide achieved superior reduction in body weight, a weight loss of about 15% compared to 2.4% weight loss with placebo after 68 weeks. Additionally, 86% of those who received semaglutide lost at least 5% of their baseline weight compared to 31% with placebo at 68 weeks. This was statistically significant. The calculated number needed to treat is 2, meaning after 68 weeks, 1 in 2 people will lose at least 5% of their baseline weight if they take semaglutide 2.4 milligrams per week for 68 weeks. Semaglutide also showed statistically significant secondary outcomes. With regards to safety, the most common adverse events in the semaglutide group were gastrointestinal, such as nausea and diarrhea. These events were transient and mild to moderate in severity. The proportion who discontinued due to adverse effects were 7% in the semaglutide group compared to 3% in the placebo group, with a calculated number needed to harm of 25. That means for every 25 people who take semaglutide, one will potentially discontinue due to adverse effects during 68 weeks. Key strengths of this trial include appropriate duration. It was also double-blinded, multi-centered, and multinational, with baseline characteristics that could be generalizable to our population. Some limitations include over 70% white and female participants. They also only included patients who had made some prior weight loss efforts, hence not a true representation of the average population. They did not report the weight loss of those who only tolerated lower doses of semaglutide. Additionally, they failed to disclose information on weight loss efficacy during the 7-week safety follow-up period between the end of treatment at 68 weeks and the end of trial at 75 weeks. The authors concluded that this trial showed among adults who are overweight or obese without diabetes, once weekly semaglutide 2.4 milligrams plus lifestyle intervention was associated with substantial clinically relevant mean weight loss of 15%, with 86% of participants attaining at least 5% weight loss. The bottom line from this trial was that the 2.4 milligrams semaglutide per week for 68 weeks results in statistical significant weight loss when compared with placebo. The second trial I reviewed was by Davis and co-authors, published in The Lancet on March 2, 2021. This study is titled Semaglutide 2.4 milligram once a week in adults with overweight, obesity, and type 2 diabetes, a randomized, double-blind, double-dummy, placebo-controlled phase 3 trial, also known as Step 2. The objective of this trial was to show weight loss superiority of semaglutide 2.4 milligrams versus placebo and semaglutide 1 milligram, the dose approved for type 2 diabetes, in adult overweight diabetic patients. Inclusion criteria were adults 18 years and over who reported at least one unsuccessful dietary effort to lose weight with a BMI of at least 27, A1C of 7 to 10%, and had been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes at least 180 days before screening. These participants were either managed with diet and exercise alone or treated with a stable dose of up to 3 oral glucose-lowering agents for at least 90 days before screening. Key exclusion criteria included insulin use, self-reported changes in body weight of more than 5 kilograms within 90 days before screening, and previous or planned obesity treatment with surgery or weight loss device. From June to November 2018, patients were screened and a total of 1,210 were randomly assigned at a 1:1:1 ratio to receive either semaglutide 2.4 milligrams, semaglutide 1 milligram, or placebo using an interactive online response system that allocated dispensing unit numbers to each patient. It was a double-blind, double-dummy design. The active product and corresponding placebo products were visually identical to maintain masking. Patients received either 2.4 milligrams or 1 milligram semaglutide or placebo once a week for 68 weeks plus lifestyle intervention. Dosing of semaglutide was started at 0.25 milligrams per week, then escalated to a target dose as mentioned earlier. The lifestyle intervention involved dietary counseling and physical activity. For the results, at baseline, the mean weight was 99 kilograms, the mean BMI was 35, over 50% were female and white, and the mean age was 55 years. Of note is that the primary and secondary outcomes were similar to those in step one. The estimated change in body weight from baseline to week 68 was 9.6% with semaglutide 2.4 milligrams versus 3.4% with placebo. At week 68, the proportion who achieved weight reductions of at least 5% was 69% of patients on semaglutide 2.4 milligrams versus 57% on semaglutide 1 milligrams versus 28% on placebo. The number needed to treat between 1 milligram and placebo was 3, and the number needed to treat between 2.4 milligram and placebo was 2 at 68 weeks. For safety, gastrointestinal adverse events were reported in 64% of patients on semaglutide 2.4 milligrams versus 57% on semaglutide 1 milligram versus 34% on placebo. These results were reported to be mild to moderate. The proportion who discontinued due to adverse effects were 6% in the 2.4 milligram group compared to 5% in the 1 milligram group compared to 3.5% in the placebo group. Key strengths include large sample size and 94% power and the double dummy design, and it also had a high rate of treatment and trial completion. A notable limitation is the exclusion of patients on insulin. Another limitation was the participants were on varying doses of other oral antidiabetic medications that could potentially impact on the results. I reckon another limitation is the fact that they did not acknowledge or mention the significant weight loss achieved by patients on 1 milligram subcutaneous semaglutide compared with placebo. The authors concluded that in diabetics, overweight or obese adults, semaglutide 2.4 milligram once a week achieved a superior and clinically meaningful decrease in body weight compared with placebo or 1 milligram semaglutide. The bottom line was that the 2.4 milligram dose resulted in a clinically meaningful body weight loss that was 2.7% greater than the 1 milligram dose and 6.2% greater than the placebo after 68 weeks. Now, back to my PICO question. In adult overweight patients, what is the effective dose of subcutaneous semaglutide compared to placebo to achieve clinically meaningful weight loss? In my view, the weight loss difference between the 2.4 milligram and the 1 milligram remains controversial. In practice, the off-label use of the currently available product, subcutaneous semaglutide, Ozempic, of up to 1 milligram per week is showing some weight loss in most patients. Due to the dose escalation required for subcutaneous semaglutide to aid tolerability, I still recommend patients be capped at 1 milligram and only evaluated for a dose increase if they do not achieve a clinically meaningful weight loss of at least 5% of their initial body weight after 12 weeks on the 1 milligram dose. Therefore, the bottom line, in my opinion, is that the effective dose will be the one that is tolerable and should be capped at 1 milligram per week. This dose should be used consistently and continually to treat obesity, a relapsing chronic disease. With regards to adherence, this once-weekly administration is an advantage over the other approved once-daily dosing anti-obesity medications. I encourage you to read the Step 1 to 5 trials for more detailed information. Thank you for listening to me today, and I hope you enjoyed my podcast. I am Betty Dubey, and you can email me at bdube@ualberta.ca for any comments, of questions or feedback. Take care and stay safe.